shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Sheriff 911, what's your emergency?
My emergency,
to quote Tony, Hayward, he's got his life back.
So the aim of the study was actually to look at the impact.
No, the president didn't say that. Senator Kyle knows that.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. on the East Coast. 1, 2, 3, 3 a.m. on the East Coast. Yeah. And this is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Every night, truth is our bitch, and we go through the looking glass to find that. Just don't do that anymore, bud, okay?
These are important things you're saying.
Yeah, that's great. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, online at philhendryshow.com. Go on over there. Get a backstage pass. Watch the show as it's streaming in live video right now, as well as live audio. We have our archives that go back years and years and years and years. You can download each day's show the next day, download it there from our site, and listen to it whenever you want to. And we also guarantee that we return all emails sent to us by our subscribers at philhendryshow.com. So if you want to talk with me or email me, ask me a question, whatever, we guarantee that we will give you a response over there at philhendryshow.com. We also have our live feed, which is open to our backstage pass holders as well, to comment on anything that's happening on the show, anything that we post up there. philhendryshow.com is a place to be. Now, we have with us tonight, coming up, Don Mixa. He is a college professor from University of Washington, discussing the White House and BP and President Obama playing golf and a lot of other things. Then Margaret Gray will join us later on the continuing adventures in the saga of Jeroen Vandersloot, who now declines to give statements in his court appearance. He's retracted his confession, and Margaret Gray is going to be traveling to South America to cover that trial, and she's going to give us her impressions of that. First off, though, here we have a White House spokesman mocking BP's chief executive today for attending a luxury yacht race despite the oil spill disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. But then he also defended President Barack Obama's own weekend golf game. So here is, in an interview on ABC News, White House Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel criticizing BP CEO Tony Hayward for attending a yacht race.
Well, as to quote Tony Hayward, he's got his life back, as he would say. And I think we can all conclude that Tony Hayward is not going to have a second career in PR consulting. This has just been a part of a long line of PR gaffes and mistakes. That's clearly a PR mistake, but he's made a number of those mistakes. What's important is, are we capping the well? Are we capturing the oil? Are we containing the cleanup? Are we filing the claims? Are we also cleaning up the mess? That's what's important. Now, this is a mistake, and it's a big mistake.
All right. While Hayward was watching a yacht race, President Obama, though, was playing a four-hour-long golf game. Today, Deputy Press Secretary Bill Burton defends the president's outing on the golf course after a reporter compares it to what Hayward did this weekend.
I don't think that there's a person in this country that doesn't think that their president ought to have a little time to clear his mind. And so after a week where the president was taking on the oil spill, got a historic agreement with BP to put aside $20 billion to pay claims, after a day on Friday when he strengthened lobbying and ethics rules in the White House, after going to Ohio to talk about the economy and see the progress that's being made in some of those stimulus projects that are happening around the country, all the different issues that the president's dealing with, I think that a little bit of time to himself on Father's Day weekend probably does us all good as American citizens that our president is taking that time.
All right, passersby in New York talked to WABC television about their reaction to news that Hayward was enjoying a yacht race.
I think he should get back to work and straighten everything out.
Okay. How about selling the yacht? Selling the yacht and use the proceeds to clean up the mess in the Gulf. That would be nice.
All right, well, I mean, you could sell that yacht. I don't suppose, Don Mixa, that the sale of that yacht would do much good. But joining us from Seattle, Washington tonight is Don Mixa. And you just heard people talking about this situation vis-a-vis the president and Tony Hayward. Is it fair?
I don't think it's fair at all, Phil. I agree with the assistant press secretary, Bill Burton. When he said that the President of the United States has a great deal more to do, I think, than Tony Hayward. But I think it goes a little bit deeper, Phil, and this is what we talked about in some of our lectures at the University today in the Engineering School. And When I meet with my students afterwards, generally we go down to a Starbucks and grab a coffee and we'll talk about some of these things. The fact that the President of the United States, an African-American, a historic first for our country, an African-American, I don't know how often an African-American is able to get out onto a golf course and actually enjoy something that most every other American is able to enjoy. Tony Hayward, on the other hand, going out to a yacht race, I would imagine that that is the usual thing for people of his earning capability, of his class, economic class. So, and he's British, and the British are the wealthy British, the moneyed British are known to enjoy their yacht races. But I don't know how you compare a British, moneyed, entitled Brit and his weekly yacht outing, how you compare that to a black man in our country standing on a golf course and surveying all that he sees and saying, well, it's the first time I'm able to do something like that.
Is this something that you guys talked about in class today?
Well,
I mean, in your lectures?
I brought it up to my students. I felt it was important to bring a social look at this because I think it was Rahm Emanuel, as good as he may be, I don't think he rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And so when Rahm Emanuel says something defending the president, I think a lot of people just say, well, that was Rahm Emanuel, and I would much prefer to believe that he's just a liar.
Not a lot of love for Rahm Emanuel, huh?
I don't think so. I don't know. I think he's direct, but you know as well as I do that a lot of people would just as soon listen to fairy tales and listen to him. So I think you have to make the point better than he did. I don't think he made the point very well at all. I think he made the president look pretty bad, in fact, saying he's entitled to go here, he's entitled to go there. What? Let's talk about the reality of it, Phil.
Well, you're talking about a sociologic event where the president, as a black man, gets to stand on a golf course. Now, certainly, black people have been allowed on golf courses for a long time.
Oh, without question. But it's relatively new in the overall when you look at how many other kinds of people get to golf. You say the black people have been allowed on golf courses for a long time, but it's never happened that we've had a black man who's a great golfer like a Tiger Woods, and people are now saying it doesn't look unusual, whereas it used to look unusual.
And would that black people would be on golf courses?
Yes, it would look unusual, and so for a president to go out and golf, it doesn't look strange. People will drive by and look, and they'll see there's a black man on the tee. And
well, they're going to say there's the president.
Well, they may not. They may not know it's the president. They just see a black man, and that's the unfortunate aspect of it. It was a white President Bush. Well, it's President Bush. It's President Obama's Obama. There's a black man. Oh, you know, and he's also the president. But it's not unusual to see a black man on the golf course anymore, and I think the president wanted to take advantage of this, not being stared at, not being looked at like he's a freak of nature, like he's something that was grown in a dish. And meanwhile, this guy Hayward is out doing his yacht race.
All right. Well, you're bringing up something that that sounds almost there's a class thing going on here. You got Hayward in his boat as an entitled Brit. In his yacht, and you have President Obama on the golf course because this is a first, a black guy being on a golf course and belonging on a golf course.
Absolutely, and I think that trumps all other considerations. Well, you've got a lot of people out there who are saying the following thing. Why are you giving Tony Hayward a hard time for taking in a yacht race when President Obama's out there playing golf? And Bill Burton and Rahm Emanuel did their best to try to explain it. I don't think they did a very good job. I think Burton, I don't even know who this man Burton is. I'm used to the other guy, Robert Gibbs, and Burton was making a lot of noise up there, not saying it. He'd say, well, you know, the president this, the president that. Why don't you just tell them that this is a historic opportunity for an African-American and a president to stand on a golf course and not be looked at as if he's a wanted criminal, or he's a tree that got split by lightning, or he's a you know what I'm saying, a large And
well, is that more of an excuse? You see what I'm saying? Because it sounds more credible to me to say President Obama, Tony Hayward. Tony Hayward's at a yacht race. President Obama is playing golf. In the one instance, Tony Hayward has one thing and one thing only to do, and that is to run the company called BP, and that is to clean up the oil. In the other instance, President Obama has a lot of things that he's got to do, right?
Well, but that's not going to play, and that's really not why we should be interested in the president.
We shouldn't be interested in the president playing golf because he needs the relaxation?
That is part of it. But the real reason, and the reason why the president is entitled to play golf, there's a lot of reasons why President Obama is playing golf, but why is he entitled to play golf more than Tony Hayward is entitled to be at a yacht race? Because he's black, and he hasn't been able to golf without being looked at like he's a freak since the beginning of golf. And now that he's president, he can do that. To me, that's a significant step. And that's why, yes, President Obama gets to golf. No, Tony Hayward doesn't get to go yacht racing.
And because Tony Hayward is yacht racing all the time, and I don't have any idea.
Well, I'll give you an example, Phil. I own a yacht, and the reason why I had to buy one was because of the peer pressure that I get from the school, and I don't know, I can tell you the story.
All right, well, let's take a break, and we'll get back to Don Mixa here, and your phone calls at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, Don Mixa, professor of engineering at the University of Washington, and we're talking about the White House and the yacht race that Tony Hayward went to and the golfing that President Obama was involved in. President Obama far more entitled to golf than Tony Hayward is entitled to go to a yacht race because as an African-American, it's the first time in history that he can walk out onto a golf course and not look unusual out there. And so sociologically, it's an important moment. 877-876-PHIL. Let's get back and talk to Don a little bit more about this. And we also have a little bit more on, you know, the events of this past weekend, Rahm Emanuel's statements to the news media, and BP and their spokeswoman, what they're saying. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. On the line is Don Mixa from Seattle, Washington, as we talk about Barack Obama and Tony Hayward. You know, one guy's rich and the head of BP. The other guy is the president of the United States. Those are a couple of powerful guys, Don.
Yeah, well, I'm not denying that they're both powerful, but in the case of a Tony Hayward, all he has to do is... all he has to do is one job, which is to make sure that they don't destroy the ecosystem of one of the most precious resources the United States has, which is the Gulf of Mexico. That's all that Tony Hayward had to do. That's all that he had to do. All he had to do was get out of bed in the morning and make sure that his oil wells didn't destroy. And let me just use the word that I think, you know, I should use, which is his oil wells didn't rape. And I think it's a very good word, rape, if you think of rape in a very graphic sense.
I understand that, but I don't want to scare people, okay?
Well, I think people should be scared. All Tony Hayward had to do was to crawl out of bed and make sure that his oil wells were not committing wholesale rape on the environment. And he couldn't even do that. He couldn't even do that. And now he's off at a yacht race. The one job that he had, he dropped the ball. Now, President Obama has 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you can go all the way up maybe to 100 things to do in the first 5 minutes that he gets out of bed. And one of them is to stand as an example to black people that they can walk out onto a golf course, any golf course, stand there, swing a club, and you belong there. That's just one of the jobs that he's got to do. The president has a staff of people that can liaison with BP, that can liaison with the military situation in the Middle East. They can liaison with the economic situation vis-a-vis China. They can liaison with the political situation vis-a-vis Europe. But Tony Hayward, he had only one thing to do, and that was to keep his, if you'll pardon me for saying this, to keep his pants buttoned up and not rape our environment with his oil well. And he couldn't even do that. He couldn't even keep his trousers zippered.
And I think that's a brutal way of saying that. Okay.
My students and I, we talked about it at Starbucks after the lecture, and I just went from table to table asking people, and they're very graphic.
Well, I know that students can be graphic. I don't know that that's quite fair to continually compare it to that, but I understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL is the number here with Don Mixa from the University of Washington. Here is Brian in New York City. Go ahead, Brian. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point that there really is absolutely nothing new. There's no new precedent in a black man being on a golf course. Calvin Peet was winning PGA Tour events a long time ago, and I've been playing golf since, since 1962. I've played with black men 2-3 times a week. I don't know where this concept of black men being on a golf course is something new is coming from. I mean, we might as well just say that today, seeing a white person on a NBA basketball court is somehow a new thing. Neither one of these things are new.
Well, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is it's unusual to see a black man relaxed on a golf course. Yes, there were black men on golf courses, but today they can actually relax and not.
Well, I'll tell you. I hear you.
But being looked at, somebody's expecting the president to carry their bag.
I hear you, but I got to tell you, I mean, my father-in-law's a little older than me. He's been playing with some black buddies in Georgia since he was a kid. I don't know where this is coming from. I mean, I give you the names of the courses. I give you the counties, towns. Just a crazy idea.
Well, sure, but I don't know. I don't know that the courses you give me, the names of the courses you give me are golf courses or cow pastures, you know, and I think you know what I mean. Other words, are they good courses, or is this some 3-par that, you know, you go ahead and golf there? No, I think the point I'm making here is that I think it's important to black people that the president show you don't have to be afraid to go onto a golf course.
Well, what do you mean by afraid?
I mean, as if you're being stared at, as if you don't belong, as if... look at this. This is weird to see, this guy out there. And it's one of many jobs the president had. That's it.
All right, Brian, thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Don Mixa from the University of Washington on President Obama and Tony Hayward. The gentleman's saying that the black people have golfed before, and
which I'm not denying, Phil. And
there've been black professionals.
I'm not denying that either. But the black professional, that's different. That's black professional golfers are going to be made to feel comfortable, and they're going to be elevated to that certain level that would be like being a black yachtsman. Well, they're going to obviously elevate you to a certain level, but President Obama going out onto that golf course, it's more important for him to do that than Tony Hayward attend a yacht race, because the president is showing black people there's nothing to fear. No one's going to run out there and beat you up and or kick you off the course or anything like that.
And you think that that still is a fear that black people have, and that it's something he needs to express right in the middle of this oil disaster?
The president's work never ends, Phil. Just because Tony Hayward couldn't keep himself from raping the Gulf doesn't mean the president has to stop everything he's doing. And
look, you're going off. There's a slight bias here, Don, okay?
I told you that I own a yacht. I own a 52-foot Steepner. And I own this on Bainbridge Island. And I bought it because of peer pressure, because half of the faculty at University of Washington owns a yacht. Our university president owns a yacht. I'm expected to buy a yacht and, do all that nonsense. Well, I know the culture. I know how excited they get.
877-876-PHIL. We've got some phone calls hanging on. I tell you what we're going to do here is we're going to take a break with Don Mix as we talk about the yacht racing and golf and all of these different things put together. And I got another one of these frogs in my throat. Forgive me. Don, hang on, okay?
I'm right here, Phil.
All right. We'll be back with Don Mixon. We'll talk more about President Obama and Tony Hayward, the yacht racing and the golf. Which guy gets to do what? World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Phil. And Don, you and I were talking about what?
Well, I like the way I hear you talking to your staff. You know, Obama's not going to let anybody talk to him like that.
The way I talk to my staff, you mean off air?
Well, I just noticed you talking to them as if they're blacks. You know, blacks have come a long way.
Talking to my staff as if they're blacks. I'm just talking to my staff about what it is we need to do on the air. That's all.
Well, black people have come a long way, Phil. Look, I've got a 5200 Steeper. It's an exercise in excellence. It's a beautiful style cruiser. But I don't like it because I'm not a yachtsman. What I'd rather see is the President of the United States giving pride to his people by standing out on a golf course and... As something as simple as this, Phil, I can give you an example where he's out there and he's got a white caddy. And to you and I, that may not mean something. But to millions of black people across this country to see the president on a golf course with a white caddy. And meanwhile, what is the BP guy doing? He's in his yacht race. Has no meaning. A white guy in a yacht race has no meaning. A president that is black golfing has great significance.
877-876-PHIL as we continue to talk here. How I talk to my staff, though, Don. Here is George in Oak Grove, Tennessee. George, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello. I was just wondering the gentleman you have from Washington, if he believes that President Obama went to play golf because he's black or he went to play golf because he enjoys the game.
Oh, no, I think he went to play golf because it's symbolic. That's what presidents do.
Symbolic for him to play golf?
It's symbolic for a certain segment of the population to see a black man standing on a golf course. And
yeah, I know, but do you believe he went to play golf because he enjoys it, or he went to play golf because you say it's symbolic?
I think he went to play golf too. Presidents are always sending messages to the American people, so you can't really separate the two.
So you think everything he does is somehow symbolic and not because he actually enjoys it?
I think it's a message. Yeah, I think he's speaking to the American people with every public act, of course. Of course.
I cannot understand how you think that he went to play golf because, not because he enjoyed it, but because he was black.
He went to play golf because he wants to show black people you can stand on a golf course with a white caddy and you don't have to be afraid.
How many people do you think in America actually view that, hey, there's a black guy playing golf and he's got a caddy who's white? Black people?
Black people. Those are the ones. And of course I did. I'm a white man, but I'm a teacher. And so I have a view. It's probably a lot broader than most whites.
As opposed to, say, a Tony Hayward who's not making any statement at all.
No, Tony Hayward is a white man in a yacht. What statement is that? That's just today's my day off, you know. And I think
he's entitled to go on his yacht just as much as the president's entitled to go play golf. But I don't think either one of them are doing it because of skin color.
Well, Tony Hayward should be out, you know, trying to clean the golf up. He came over here, raped the golf, and then said, "I think I'll go on my yacht."
Well, rape is kind of something you do on purpose. I don't think he did anything on purpose. Do you know what caused that accident?
if the jury is still out on whether it was on purpose or not, but negligence did cause the accident. There was an explosion.
Surely you don't think that the DP Hayward has something to do if it was on purpose.
I think that as the CEO, he has to take responsibility. And I don't know why he is out on a yacht fooling around like that when he ought to be down there in the Gulf with a bag and some gloves and
you say rape. I mean, rape is somebody going around looking for somebody to rape somebody. That's something you dream about and fantasize about. But
that's what you did with Charlie. That's what you think Tony Hayward did?
I think it is. I think Tony Hayward fantasized about destroying a major American resource, did it, and then went out and when they shot.
But you don't even know what caused it.
You're telling me Tony Hayward intentionally?
I think by his sloppy business habits, he knew something bad was going to happen. Now, once it did happen, the fact that he looks at it and says, well, there's one day's work. I think I'll go on a yacht race this weekend.
You think he was thinking that? That's almost like you're saying the president, I'm going to go to play golf because the black people in the whole world like to see me to play golf because I'm black. That doesn't make sense.
Well, not the whole world. No, in the country. In black Americans want to be able to go on a golf course without fear. And I think the president shows them that they can.
He's a president. I don't think he's going to get stared at because he's... By the way, half black. He has a white mother, too. I guess you know that.
And he's, does that make him white? Oh, that's right. I forgot. Now he's white. It used to be when a guy was half black, he was all black. But now, because of Obama. All right.
Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to another phone call here. Although, I want to kind of get to a little bit more about Tony Hayward. Here is Jason. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show in Greensboro, listening on WZTK.
Hey, good morning, Phil.
Good morning, sir.
The power you have as the judge or validating whether Obama or Mr. Hayward was doing something, it's crazy for him to say that it's okay for Obama to be playing golf because he's a black guy. President Obama is going to have a million different issues every day during his presidency. He took a
no
day off.
About it.
Hayward...
Yes, sir. I'm here for you.
Well, his phone sounded like it was... Yeah, you there, Jason? Go ahead.
Yeah.
We lost you. Lost you for a second.
Yeah, Mr. Obama.
Roger. Say it again. Bob. Are you there, sir?
Is the gentleman there? I think his phone is going in and out. Unless I missed my guess. You there, Jason? All right, Jason gone. 877-876-PHIL. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Yes, hey. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I feel that the president, along with Tony, neither one of them need to be at leisure doing anything. Okay, they have a big spill down in the Gulf. The president, him being somewhat of a role model to blacks because he's out in the golf course, that's ludicrous. Because first of all, if he wants to be a role model to blacks, then he need to ask a black person what it takes for them to be a role model to them, okay? First of all, him out playing golf doesn't have anything to do with it, you know, for him being a role model. Him being a role model is him and Tony putting their heads together and finding out how they're going to clean up that mess that they made, I mean, that BP made. So, I mean, that's a role model because that's responsible.
Very good points. Yeah. Good points, Tom. You want to comment, Don?
I do want to comment. I think the gentleman does make some good points. I'm going to assume the gentleman is African-American, and we won't make that an issue, but let me say that you must have felt pride in seeing the president out there with a white caddy, no fear, walking to a Coke machine and getting, you know, normal things. That must have given you some pride.
Well, pride? I thought you were talking about fear.
I'm talking about the gentleman. Yes, sir.
Well, that doesn't give me pride to see him out playing golf. I'm going to be honest with you.
With a white caddy.
With a white caddy.
That doesn't give me pride either. because
you gentlemen are laughing, but that's a significant step, wouldn't you say, in the socioeconomic history of this country?
Well, you're talking about the history of this country and someone, like I said, at leisure and in time of almost crisis. I mean, this is like people's livelihood is at stake with the job.
Yeah, Tom's saying, Tom, this is and what you're saying, and I agree with you. Both men should be at work.
Right.
Both men should be both the man from BP and the president should both be there working on this horrible problem. And one's at a yacht race, and the other guy's golfing.
Well, I didn't know that I was going to come on your program, Mr. Andy. As a progressive, I support the president. I don't know what are you trying to pull?
What am I trying to pull?
My last point is I just wanted to let you know, it does not give me any kind of pride to see anybody out playing golf, out playing basketball, football, none of that stuff. That's ludicrous, man. I mean,
I think you're laughing, sir, but I think that there is a great deal of pride that can be had. See, what kind of pride do I get as a white watching another white race a yacht? I've got a yacht. And
well, I don't have a yacht.
Do you get pride out of seeing a rich white guy, a rich British guy?
Pride? You know, it's not about pride. I mean, if I'm a yacht race fan, maybe I dig it. Look, I watch the America's Cup. That's a bunch of rich white guys.
Well, you know what gives me pride? What would give me pride is to see our people being able to govern ourselves. That's what would give me pride. Thank you.
Well, that's the gentleman who wants to. Are you talking about back to Africa? Is that it? I think it's back to Africa. The gentleman there?
No, he hung up. 877-876-PHIL. What do you mean back to Africa? What does that mean?
Well, he was talking about a separatist back to Africa movement, which I certainly do understand.
No, I don't think he was govern ourselves. I think had more to do with the domestic American situation among black people.
Well, certainly it was a separatist govern ourselves. We don't want to govern the whites. I have to tell you.
Hold on, 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break. And actually, we've got a couple of calls, so let's take a break right now. We'll come back to more of your phone calls. We're talking here with Don Mix, a professor of engineering at the University of Washington. We're talking about Obama and Hayward. One, the head of BP, the other head of the United States. One's golfing, the other's racing yachts, and yet it is Mr. Mix's opinion that the president is entitled to golf because that gives black people reassurance that they can walk onto a golf course with a white caddy and not have fear. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I apologize for belting, but not that I should belt with it.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Don Mixa from the University of Washington. So we're talking about Hayward going to a yacht race or yachting or whatever, and Obama out golfing, which you say isn't anywhere near as bad because the president is sending a social message about black people feeling comfortable on a golf course and not being afraid of that.
Exactly. And I think, Phil, we've been spending far too much time here talking about the bad PR of whether Obama should be out golfing. Of course he should be golfing. He's the president of the United States. Even a personal level.
Now, I want to get to this thing. You say you own a yacht.
I own a 52-foot steamer.
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, let's see. It's a boat that I rarely go on. What can I tell you? It's powered by. I've got a couple of twin 400 horsepower engines. I bought it because of the peer pressure that I felt from the faculty of the University of Washington. I would never buy a yacht in a million years. It's embarrassing to own one. And so I look down on people that own yachts.
You do?
Absolutely, I do.
And Mr. Hayward, who owns a yacht, is gladly raped the Gulf and then went out onto his yacht.
I think there was a bit of, in Tony Hayward's action, I think there was a little bit of relish, if you want to put a word on it. I think there was a... It looked to me like he enjoyed it. It looked to me when he was in front of the Congress, the Senate, that he was enjoying himself.
Enjoying it. It looked to me like he was very uncomfortable, and he was being grilled, and he was being put through a very unpleasant experience. Here is James in Pontiac, Illinois, listening to us on WRPW. Go ahead, James.
I've just been listening for about a half hour, 45 minutes to this guy out in Washington. I can't remember his name, but...
Professor Mixa.
I'm Don Mixa, yeah.
Professor Don Mixa.
Well, I just don't quite understand where you're coming from. It sounds almost like this is a indeliberate racism, saying that because President Obama, because he's a black man, having a white caddy is a huge deal, and all that stuff, but we forget about Tiger Woods, who's been out there showing the world that a black man can play golf. And
well, that's not really what I was talking about more was the enjoyment of just a regular black guy going out onto a golf course and just playing golf. If you're Tiger Woods, that's special. But the president, I think, was saying, look at me. I'm out here on a golf course. You can do it, too. And no one's going to bother you.
The president is just as... I mean, you're saying that the president is a regular old guy. He's surrounded by tons of Secret Service and media and everything. I mean, it's really no different than
well, I know, but
Tiger
when we look
Woods
at the
going
president,
out there.
Tiger's Tiger's in a tournament. The president is just, he's symbolic of all of us saying, hey, look at me, I'm golfing. When he eats a hamburger, you don't really see Secret Service. So he's saying to black people, it's okay, you can come out here and golf and, no one's going to bother you.
So
now,
we're in the year... We're in 2010. I'm pretty sure that Martin Luther King and all these other civil rights activists have made it a very big point that blacks can do all these things. And you've already stated, too, that you look down on people with yachts. That you look down on people with yachts. And so
it
sounds like you're almost mad at
doing. I know what they're doing.
It sounds like you're more mad about this guy having a yacht, and that's about the only reason you have anything against him. He shouldn't be out on a yacht.
Right.
I mean, this
well, I don't know. I told you that I have a yacht. I have a 52-foot yacht. So,
well, you said you bought your yacht because of peer pressure.
Because of the peer pressure at the university, yeah. I don't like owning it. I can tell you, this young man that I'm speaking to, James, I can tell you, James, I would love to go out there tonight and set fire to it. That's how I feel about it. But I can't because I've got a university president and his wife and my wife, and they're very close, and she wants to have them over for drinks and so on and so forth, and you know how it is.
Well, I've never
heard of
anybody
wait a second.
Being fired from a job because they got rid of their yacht, but I'm also not one of the ones that can have a yacht either, so...
That's not a slap to your face, but there's a British guy with a yacht who just basically defecated in the Gulf, and now he's sailing his yacht. And you don't feel insulted by that?
Defecated.
Yeah, that's what he did.
Well, and you keep saying he's raping the Gulf, and rape is something that somebody sets out and does.
Right.
And is charged with crimes and goes to jail. This guy, it was a freak accident. I mean,
yeah.
To me, it'd be almost a spit in my face if it was one of my family members out there.
Why is it okay for people to say that maybe 9/11 was an inside job, but when I say that BP is raping the Gulf, no, could never happen. What is that about?
I personally don't believe that 9/11 was an inside job. I am in the military.
Yeah, what's that guy? I mean, that's just as crazy as saying 9/11 is an inside job. That's just as crazy.
Well, if they get to say that, why don't I get to say what I want to say?
But they're nuts, and so you want me to say you're nuts too?
Nuts? They've got two movies. They've got Charlie Sheen.
What do you want to do?
You have the right to your opinion on all these things, but it just it sounds like you're just focusing on the fact that Barack Obama is
got a white
black
caddy, got a white caddy.
White caddy, and that it's a caddy. A caddy's a caddy. Like I said, this sounds more like racism.
All right, James. Thanks for your call. 877-876 Phil. You hear what people are saying here?
It has nothing to do, Phil, with racism. It has nothing to do. I'm proud of the fact that we've got a president who's black who can show other black people, look, see, I'm standing at the first tee here at a country club, and there's no one looking up and going, hey, you. That's all, you know. And I think that's a far more valuable thing to do than sail a yacht. And I think Hayward ought to get to work and correct the mess that he purposely started, in my opinion. If people can say 9/11 was an inside job and Kennedy was killed by the CIA, then I'm going to say this.
And do you think 9/11 was an inside job?
No, I do not. No, I don't. Well, who was the president? It was Bush, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, then it may be, yeah. It may be. I thought, but it may be.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here from Jim, or Tim, rather. Tim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, there's three things I want to tell you. What if it was a Chinese man behind him? What if it was a monkey behind him? He's still a black man. A black man, you're pulling all this stuff up from 200 years ago. We have black men. We've
never had a Chinese caddy. Never been a Chinese caddy.
Wait a minute.
When's there ever been a Chinese caddy? There's never been a Chinese caddy.
So what? He was a white man.
Who, the Chinese was a white man? If he was Chinese, then if he was a caddy, that'd be a first.
Phil Hendry.
Never been a Chinese caddy.